not
Welcome
really.
My beer's Tony. Tony's yet. Drinking beer. Tony's fucking up the intro.
God damn it, Tony.
Tony's drinking.
Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 312. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony, who is pouring a beer.
I'm drinking. I guess I'm not drinking yet.
He's so excited.
Now I need to decide if I'm going to get a beer. We'll see.
Fozzie is here as well.
Hey, howdy.
So is Jeff.
I'm drinking.
I'm Bloody Mary, yes.
Actually, listen, do you want to take this? I want to
Bloody
drink my
Mary.
Beer. I'm switching to beer. We're changing it.
Yeah.
That was
Bloody Mary.
I like how Jeff just had a beer magically appear right now. I don't want this Bloody Mary. I have a beer. Magic. Pete is also here.
I'm drinking water.
I am drinking cranberry ginger ale. It's pretty tasty.
You should put something in that.
Like. Yeah, I should, but the vodka is that way. I have to walk to go get it. Anyway, we talk about games. Two of you were not here for E3.
Hey.
So
that's true.
I was here in spirit.
You were.
I didn't miss anything, did I? No major announcements or
no, because you were there.
All right, we went with the theory that you were actually in LA at E3 working for Paradox.
God, I wish.
you might as well just get a job there.
I don't know, it just conveniently falls that you're super busy during E3
every
year. Except last year when Paradox didn't have any games to announce. So.
That's
true. So what did you guys did you guys catch up on any of the news and announcements and trailers and?
Well, I was working from home on Monday, so I essentially watched both the conferences that was that day, which was Sony and Microsoft was that
Sony,
day?
Microsoft, Ubisoft.
And the PC game show in the middle there somewhere.
Okay, I didn't see the PC one. I watched bits and pieces of Ubisoft. I mean, I'm just trying to kind of recollect my thoughts again.
What do you remember? Because I imagine those will probably be your highlights.
I remember Sony announced a bunch more games without any of the games they announced last year having been out yet. So.
Yeah.
That's more or less the case.
Yeah,
there were some games I was interested in that they were talking about, though. The Spider-Man game looked really good. God of War reboot looked really, really good.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk God of War reboot, because I heard Corey Barlog, who did he do two?
He did three.
Three. He is back on for four, so...
No, it was the guy who did two is the one who's back.
Oh, it is? Okay, then whoever I heard two from was correct.
Yeah, Corey Barlog is directing four, though, so...
Which is good, because whoever did Ascension should die in a fire.
Hey!
I love God of War 2, so... That was clearly the best one in the series.
Yeah, and his, I only got this from listening to the Giant Bomb stuff, but evidently he wanted to come back to basically deconstruct God of War and break apart like what they had done over the previous four games.
He's certainly done that because it doesn't look like God of War. Like, just the camera alone throws me off, but it looks interesting.
Yeah, and it's pseudo open world, I guess, kind of like Tomb Raider, like the new Tomb Raider.
Yeah, sort of like closed open worlds.
Yeah,
like
so not kind of way. Not gigantic open world, like where you can go anywhere, but like very big areas that you can explore and do things in. So that kind of sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought, you know, in my opinion, I like Sony, what they were throwing at me. Now, okay, let's keep in mind, this is Sony, and they're fucking notorious for, like, doing that shit where they get you hyped for games that aren't coming out for, like, two or three years.
Ever.
Yeah. But that's also how they win E3 in terms of, like,
hearts
and minds.
I mean, like, you know,
and that's all these things are at this point. Like, it's all smoke and mirrors and spectacle.
I guess, you know, if there is a takeaway from there... What I did like the most was that, like, Sony really had, like, key figureheads, right? And then they had games, and that was it. It was, like, no bullshit, like, no, I didn't see too much hardware as far as I was concerned, but
there was none at the Sony.
It was
an hour and 10 minutes, and it was really just
it was tight. It was it didn't take up a lot of your time, and they're like, here's another trailer, boom. Like,
it was really short for a Sony conference.
The long ones.
Right, yeah, because Sony in the past, like, they'll bring out, like, Vita stuff and then fucking, talk about all their hardware and numbers and stuff. So, I mean, it was just, it was refreshing to kind of see that. I kind of wish Microsoft would. Microsoft, still great. I mean, again, they're really good as far as, I guess getting you excited, but it's more like short-term stuff.
Yeah.
And it's stuff you already kind of know is coming out. I don't know. I thought Last Guardian, I could have sworn that Last Guardian was not coming out. I thought that it was dead in the water. So I guess I forgot that it had revived or whatever you would call it. So
oh, yeah, didn't they make that announcement last year that it was...
Yeah, I guess so. But that's the thing is, like, my memory of things, it doesn't go very far as this stuff's concerned. So, I mean...
I really am skeptical about that game, though.
Bad timing.
I'm excited for it, yeah.
You're going to get it, Fozzie?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm probably going to get it, too.
It's bad timing, man.
Yeah, it's at a really shitty point.
When is it again?
Sure. But like,
it's the 28th.
Yeah, what do we say? Civilization comes out, and there's another, and Battlefield's like
the other one. Yeah, it's like...
But as someone who isn't going to get Battlefield...
It's in between Titanfall and Battlefield.
I mean, I might not get day one, but...
Yeah, I will eventually play it, because I did like the other two Team Ico games, but... Mm-hmm. What I have heard from people that played it was that it kind of feels like a late-era PS3 game that has made the jump to PS4.
Sure.
So,
that makes sense. I mean, that game was supposed to be on that system, right?
Yeah, well, I actually thought it started out as a PS2 game that jumped to PS3.
Well, I don't know. I mean, 10 years ago was, what, 2006? I mean, maybe it could have been a very late era, like, hey, we're releasing this even though the PS3 is out kind of game.
Well, I mean, that's what they did with God of War 2. Like, PS3 was already out when God of War 2 came out.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
And it was still awesome.
Yeah. So, Tony, is there anything that you kind of caught that...
Let's see. Besides that stuff, so that once those games are actually out, I will actually get a PS4.
I think 2018 for both Spider-Man and God of War.
Yeah, no, I do too, which will be a while, which gives me plenty of time to save up for Scorpio for next year.
Yeah?
Which I think, I mean, I have a 4K TV, and I really want to... take advantage of that. I don't think I don't. If I didn't have one, I don't think that'd be an option. But I do.
I'm on the fence about it, and I don't have a 4K TV, so yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like, am I going to utilize this correctly? And I think my next big purchase is going to be getting a PC plus VR. So,
PC, baby.
Yeah, get that Vive action.
I don't know. You could get Scorpio on an Oculus.
Maybe.
Oculus is kind of lame, though, bruh. You gotta sit down. You gotta use a controller.
What is it? The Oculus Touch stuff will be out this fall, so.
Oh yeah, that thing. Well, again, I'm not anticipating anytime soon, so.
No, it's like. We're gonna let Jeff bite the bullet on VR.
No, so I'm gonna be the only one playing Resident Evil in VR, huh?
That's true.
Yeah, you'll be vomiting for all the wrong reasons from what
the VR is gonna be 95% porn and like a little bit in that game.
It's okay.
Who are we kidding?
Okay. I mean, whatever. There are worse things for it to happen.
Yeah. Well. I don't think any of us need to play Resident Evil 7 in VR, Jeff, as it's not being designed specifically for VR. So
I've heard some. I know it's not, but I've not heard universal bad things. I heard some people say it was kind of cool. I forgot who.
Well, I think the demo itself is cool, but like it was still making a lot of people motion sick. Like more like people who are fine in VR were saying like, "Hey, this is not."
There were other friend of ours. Britt, she I guess she played it at E3, and she did not get sick from it. She thought it was really cool. So, you know, mileage.
Yeah, I don't trust anyone.
Hurt.
Yeah, I don't trust that because
a lot of people
be
were
different.
Saying,
I don't. I'm not the type of person that gets sick easily. So
I don't either.
Sure, and even Jeff Gerstmann was saying, like, it's fine, but I heard also from people who were normally fine with it being, like, there's no view bob, so, like, your equilibrium gets thrown off, like, immediately.
And I heard, and I have not tried VR, so I can't attest to this, but if you get, like, VR sick, it stays with you.
Oh, God.
After you take it off?
Yeah, for hours after you take it off. Sweet. Like you could, because it's messed with your equilibrium, so it takes a little while for your body to get back on track. So.
Yeah, it's like if you get car sick and then you get out of the car, you're still like on unstable ground for a little bit.
Yeah.
Did anyone play the Resident Evil demo besides me?
I don't
have PlayStation
Plus,
so no.
What?
I should. I haven't yet. I tried to play with my girlfriend, but she's terrified. So.
I've heard like a lot of negative reactions to it. I thought it was fine. I thought it was cool. Like I'm excited for that game.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything negative about the demo itself. Like in a non-VR sense. Like if you go look at the subreddit, man, people are they're pulling it apart like it's the next PT.
I've heard some people say not as good as PT, and I'm like...
Yeah, I put out a Twitter poll.
PT's not a game, first off. Can we throw it out there? PT's not a game. Like,
no, but neither
like it's this
neither
masterpiece.
Is this.
No, yeah. I know, but, like...
This
people
is
are just like, PT, man, PT. Dude, let it go. It's fucking over. It's not happening.
Well, I agree, but in terms of, like, a short horror experience, like, it's probably the best, like, horror thing that's been in video games for several years, probably since Amnesia came out, and, like, really sort of... change how people can make horror games.
I guess. I don't know.
Because, I mean,
I really
this
like
wouldn't exist without PT, you know? Like, straight up. Like,
maybe,
that's what
maybe
this is.
It might have been in development before then, but we don't know. I don't know. You know.
I can't believe that a demo that's an hour long was in development for... When was PT? 3 years ago at this point?
No. Right? Two.
Two. Okay. Two?
I think.
Can't be sure. But all I know is that we've been hearing about PT for, like, fucking ever, so.
2000, it released August...
Damn it.
August 2014.
Yeah, so, okay, so Gamescom 2 years ago. Okay.
I would think that they've been working on Resident Evil 7 longer than
oh,
that.
I agree, but I don't think this kitchen demo... has been. I think that was started after Resident Evil because the game Resident Evil is not in. They've said now it's not in first person. It will have a different protagonist. It'll have weapons. It'll have guns. Like this is a tonal piece.
It's not in first person.
No.
What?
Yeah, they said that this is not representative of the game in any way, shape, or form, except for possible location and tone.
It has to be in first person. What are they thinking? How's it going to be VR? Well, I guess you could do third-person VR. But
I mean, it might be able to switch between modes in terms of, like, it'll have a first-person...
Kind of like Metal Gear could, where you can move into first-person.
Yeah, or like a Skyrim Fallout kind
right.
of thing, even though their third-person's terrible, but you can still go back and forth.
Hmm.
But, yeah, that they basically come out and be like... After the its reception, I think some people had to come out and be like, oh, God, yeah, by the way, this is not... the final...
Well, yeah, I know that the demo itself is not in the game, which is weird, but whatever. But
well, it's
almost
a prequel piece,
similar.
I think, to the game, but I also think that, like, in terms of what you're seeing gameplay-wise, not necessarily...
Well, I did hear the piece about their weapons, and you're going to be shooting monsters and other
well,
things,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, it'll
Resident
be Resident Evil,
though. Like, it has to have that, right? So
yeah.
We'll see. I think it could be good, though.
Yeah, no, I'm still just as excited. For sure.
Tony, did you miss out on the Halo Wars 2 beta?
I didn't try to get into it. I have too many other strategy games that are actually out now to play.
Yeah, I don't know... Don and I were going to try. I downloaded it, but I never actually got to play it. So
didn't they extend it, or was it only by like a day?
I think it was only by a day. I think it's over now. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What did you think of any of the Civ 6 stuff, Tony? I don't think we've really talked about that very much.
I saw they actually came out with a new trailer today.
Yeah, there's like a 12-minute thing that's like narrated by Sean Bean and shit.
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, though. I don't know. It seems like they're trying to make changes. But it's been around so much, they're trying to iterate it to death. So I have concerns.
What do you think about like the districts and stuff? Because I think that's probably like a welcome change.
See, but every time they start throwing around these new mechanics, I mean, do they work? That's a question I always have.
Sure. And I think it might take an expansion, like it did with Civ 5 before.
Which it did with Civ Beyond Earth. Like, it's their Civ 4. Like, it's their pattern now. And it's like, do you really want to buy a Civ game at launch? Is it going to be worth playing anything? Should you just wait the year for the first expansion that makes the game what it was supposed to be?
I mean, I will probably buy it, maybe not day one, but close to, just because, I mean, like, Civ's not necessarily, like, a competitive game, and I'm not, like, hardcore into it the way everybody else was. Like, they were freaking out about what was missing in, Beyond in 5 the, and stuff. Five, and the expansion stuff was all just like, oh, cool, this is extra shit. Like, but I think the reason, like, everybody, like, Civ games get good, in quotes, after the expansion is because they just have had time to get the feedback and iterate on, like, okay, hey, this is what we need, this is what everybody...
Which is fine, except a lot of them are missing basic features that the other games had.
Yeah. Like
if you're completely missing diplomacy, if the AI is completely inept, like it was in 5 to start out, like, it was horrible. You would get to the end game, you wouldn't even need to get to the end game because you'd have beaten the crap out of everyone by the time you got to that point. The games have not been developed to the standard that I think Civ 3 set initially. They've hit it in the expansions, they all have, but being there for full price on day one for a Civ game now, it's taken a big chance.
No, yeah, for sure.
That you're like, I was very dissatisfied with Beyond Earth to the point where I didn't buy the expansion. I was like, you got enough money out of me. I'm not playing this anymore.
Yeah, so. I actually didn't go and get that one because I heard like so many negative things about it that I was like, even after the expansion, everyone was just like, yeah, it's not bad.
Right. And even XCOM 2, which, I mean, XCOM 2, decent game, but, not
that was
an
more
iterative,
technical than like mechanical,
but a step back from its predecessor, right? Which worked on console and PC and like without a hitch at launch. So I think if you're looking at anything that Firaxis is putting out now, you really got to take it with a grain of salt and say, you know, is this really worth it for me on day one? And I'm not sure that it is.
Yeah, that's
until
sad.
They get their act together.
I don't know what's happened there, but I think by now, and of course that's not necessarily an excuse, but I think that by now, like, XCOM 2 is in a place of playability, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely way better than it was. You don't, like, when I was playing it for review, I think I had to play my entire thing on min settings, because it was the only way that I could actually see what was going on.
Yeah, that's insane. But I feel like I heard that they had come out and finally fixed
it. They've patched it. They patched it a bunch of times. Like it's playable now. But you know, it's playable now. You should be buying it in a Steam sale for half off.
Yeah, that's right. In a Steam summer sale, I guess.
This stuff has to work at launch now, or else they're selling the games for 50% because nobody's gonna buy them.
I'm gonna get it on Xbox when it comes out. September.
Yeah, hope. Well, by then, my assumption is it'll
actually
work
be
as intended.
Work very well.
I'm guessing on console it will be fine.
Hope so.
Extra time for development. They're so close to PC. Like there's reason.
Yeah. Did you guys catch any of the Zelda stuff? Any opinions on that?
Yeah, who am I going to fight? Let's go.
You can fight Jeff.
You can fight.
Nah, no.
I got him.
That's good.
No.
Yeah, hey, I saw an article today, Jeff, that every single Zelda game has been delayed since... Whew. Like, every single one has been delayed at least a year when they announced the release date.
Every single one.
Without fail.
The last few, I would say that. That's true, yeah.
You've been delayed into other generations.
From the 64 one on. I know that's for a fact.
No. Yeah. Well, is the Nintendo... No, I guess that's not true. Well, I guess the Nintendo 64 is the only one to have gotten two Zeldas that didn't cross over to another console.
Yeah.
Right?
Then they start crossing over games anyways.
What's up?
Then they start crossing over anyways. I thought that
GameCube.
Twilight Princess was... Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, in terms of, like, has it been that long? Because now we're at the Wii.
Well, since then, yes. It's been... Yeah. Because, I mean, like, the original Nintendo had two Zeldas, and the N64 had the two Zeldas. I don't know. Anyway, any other thoughts on E3 before we kind of move into actually what we've been playing?
I just bought a really expensive apartment in GTA 5.
Hey, yeah.
I thought for a moment you were announcing that you were just straight up moving. As, like, part of the news.
I am, but in GTA 5.
Moving on up.
That's right.
All right, let's jump into some games we've been playing and
try to
keep this a little bit short. Jeff picked up Overwatch. And I'm kind of interested to hear his take on it. We know Pete's take. It'll be going up on the site shortly.
That's right. This review just got scored, so...
Usually positive.
Very good. I'm playing it right now.
Tomorrow-ish?
Yeah, I mean, you guys know me. I'm not good at multiplayer shooters.
That's true.
And I don't usually, like, it's usually not my thing, but this is a really quality game. Like, it's really good. And just, I think, very inviting to all types of players, and it has, like, a diverse set of characters that you could play as, so even if you're not good at shooters, there's a role for you to play.
That's the thing I like most about it.
I think I have, like, one character of almost every class that I like, though, so yeah. I am playing as offensive characters, too.
Well, and the great thing... There are, like, a bunch of supports that don't heal. They do other supportive type things, you know?
Yeah. So. I was trying out this one guy, Tornbjorn, or I don't know how you say his name.
Yeah, him. Mm-hmm.
He, like, lays down a turret that you could just sit there and repair and try to keep alive and stuff. I didn't really love him that much, but yeah, I'm just saying, you're right, there's other things to do besides just being a killer.
Wait, did Jeff just say "and stuff"? Is this, like, an epidemic now?
What?
I'm still saying it. And stuff. It's like Peter's catchphrase.
Is it?
I'm sorry. Oh, no.
I didn't even notice. It's what happens when you play Overwatch.
All right, so should I be getting this game?
Yeah.
It's a really good game.
It depends.
Depends on what?
I kind of hate playing with random people. I really hate it.
It's fine.
Interesting.
No, it's not fine. Don't listen to him. You're a fucking babby. No, just talking about.
Are you playing on Xbox One, Fozzie?
No, Jeff's
playing on Xbox One, which is where I might get it.
Dude, the problem with random people is that they don't know how to, like, work as a team at all.
I've played with people. Fozzie's. Oh my god.
Oh no, it's like
you're obvious what to do.
Fozzie is coming out at the end of the month, where then you can go and be
the competitive mode.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is that if everyone's an offensive player, it just doesn't make the game fun because you're going to lose every time.
Well, so should I be playing with Jeff? If I get this, I should play with Jeff?
I would imagine so.
Okay. I've never had that big of an issue, or at least I guess it hasn't bothered me as much as it has a bunch of other people from what I've seen playing with. I've played almost exclusively with randoms the entire time I'm here. I've had the game, and...
Well, I mean, again, maybe it's just because I've played a lot with Because the nice thing about PC is, like, I have a bunch of friends in Seattle that play it, so I don't play with randoms that much, that many times.
I've only been playing with randoms. I guess maybe I'm not taking it so seriously, so I don't care if we lose, really. I'm having fun. But it tells you if your team's unbalanced before you start your
match. It does. It does. And yet people just don't, necessarily mean don't care about me. That. No, I like the fact that it says that.
If it says no support characters, though, I will be the one to switch. To
I know, support and I'm not saying I'm usually normally the guy that will do that. Like, I'll look at what's needed, and that's the cool thing about the game is that, you know, it makes it fun. Like, every character is fun. Like, even Mercy, who just goes around healing,
I love.
I kind of enjoy her. It's just she's go one around of my like. Like, once I see someone's in critical, like, I make it my mission to get to that person. And it's...
What level are you, Fozzy?
26.
Oh, okay. I'm around 22, 23, so... Yeah, because I was going to say, up in the higher levels, it's actually... Like, the problems you're describing are not nearly as rampant. And I think that's just because people learn how to play the game.
How is the leveling progression? Like, is it quick? Is it
no?
It's slow. Okay.
It's quick through level 10, yeah. And then you start crawling.
Yeah, like, I think I'm 15 right now, and it takes a while, but you don't really care because you don't really get anything for leveling up.
You just get the loot box, yeah.
Guys, I bought loot boxes.
Oh, I did too.
Oh,
I did
no.
I spent $20 on loot boxes.
I did not. I spent 10.
Not sorry.
You guys are crazy. it's fucking cosmetic garbage. Oh, here's some spray paint.
But dude, like,
yeah, everything but the skins and the
But I love the player of the game. Like, their animations, when not the generic ones, but the other ones, are fucking hilarious. They're great. So the skins and the player of the game animations are really all I care about. Everything else, yeah, you're right, but. You know, here's the thing, is that I'll put more money into this game because of how much I've played, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
Did you get the $40 version?
Yeah, I think I only spent $40 on...
Okay, so suggested they bought
I spent,
the
I spent the I know, I spent the 60 I,
yeah.
Look, I bought the 60
Pete's crazy. Fozzie's no, yeah, you're not.
Overwatch was one of those games where I knew it was going to be that type of thing for me. Yeah. Where, like, I saw it at when it was announced, I saw it then again at BlizzCon, and I was just like, this is going to be my jam.
No,
so I totally didn't mind.
As long as, like, you are enjoying the game and like, you want to put money back into it, I don't, whatever.
Chris,
man,
you'll have zero reason to throw money into this. Like,
let me just say that.
Yes, there's zero reason to, but I was totally okay with doing it. Like,
oh, I'm sure you've put kind of money in garbage in games like fucking Tony Hawk and shit. So you really have.
Yeah, but I'm buying a game. I'm not buying a fucking costume for my character.
Okay, but I'm buying trash like you're buying trash.
And it's random too, right? Like,
everyone wants to spend my $60 to spend my money.
Can I clarify that it's random? Like, you're only buying loot boxes. You're not actually buying. Like, I want a costume for character A.
That's insanity, dude.
But if you get the in-game currency, which you can't buy, you just can earn that. You do get the ability to buy the individual.
So item. Like
yeah. Like,
I'm playing
as
the gorilla
right
character. I earn the in-game currency. I could then buy a costume for the in-game.
Exactly. So you can pick and choose. But that being said, it's a lot more money to do it that way.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you earn currency. You earn very little for duplicate items, and then. Sometimes it just drops in the boxes, and I've gotten a couple like batches of 250, which has been nice. But those are
nice.
And what are we talking about for a
skin?
So
the legendary skins,
right,
which are like the ones that actually change the player model or the character model, like the most, are about 1,000 in-game points.
Okay, so big.
Like, yeah, they're the most expensive and therefore the hardest to earn.
Shit, they're all here. Oh God.
All right. Jesus. In terms of the gameplay, is this a game that, like, and this is hard for you because none of you have kids, but, like, would you let a 10-year-old play?
They could totally play as, like, Junkrat, for example, because first off, it's not, there's no blood.
Yeah, so I liked it. It looks a little cartoony.
Yeah.
I would say it's about as violent as The Incredibles.
Okay, I'm just wondering, do I buy it on disc at Best Buy, or do I buy it digitally, and then I can share it between the two Xboxes with my son? I would totally say,
go for it, and make it play as Junkrat, who has, like, a huge, like, AoE, like, he has a grenade launcher, essentially, right? So,
right now, my son plays a lot of, like, Plants vs. Zombies, Garden Warfare. Okay. I know this isn't necessarily the same, but I guess it is in a way. It's a objective-based
class-based shooter.
So it's similar in some respects, except it's first person instead of third person. So.
Yep.
All right.
There's nothing like inappropriate to it. And
yeah, that's why I was just wondering. I mean, I let him play Halo, but it's a little different. He plays it with me. We play the campaign, so.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for, like, a rating, I'd say Incredibles. I mean, it even apes the style of that sort of thing.
It's rated T, right?
Yeah, so
that's what I thought.
There's no blood, there's no, like, cursing or anything, you know?
You know what's funny is one of the few people I've heard with a mic was last night, and it was a kid. Like, he sounded like 10 years old. One of the least annoying kids I've ever heard. He was just perfectly like, all right, guys, let's try to do this. Like, he was just being, like, totally normal. Like, oh man, that sucks. You know, like, he was just being, like, completely, like, usually they're screaming little brats.
The couple of kids I've heard have been the same way. Yeah. And I think that's, like, this game is really good at encouraging teamwork, but also, like, not highlighting the people who did really shitty on your team.
No, it doesn't.
And I think that's the important part. Like, if you, like, there's actually no way to tell that, like, who on your team is doing the worst, because it only tells you who was doing really well.
How am I supposed to mock them?
Right. Oh, you'll find them.
It's a very, like, it reminds me of Splatoon a lot, even though it's
you're not selling me right now, Jeff.
I don't care about that. I'm just saying it's an inviting game for people who are not, like, great at the genre, and it's a fresh take. You know, it doesn't really share any other DNA other than that with Splatoon. It's just
one. It's something colorful. Different.
It's fun. Yeah, and it's colorful. Boy. Yeah.
You won't feel like shit at the end of a round if you guys lose.
And the great thing too is that it's like 10-minute game, so it's you could play. I mean, it's one of those that you'll totally fucking, like, get sucked into and be like, oh yeah, I can definitely play one more game. But that being said, it's not like poor Battleborn just did not have a chance. It's totally, you know, you can play a couple games and be like, okay, I'm good. And for the most part, you know, me complaining about the randos, you know, a lot of times they are good, but it is frustrating, though. It's like, you know, there's a way where you could be good at every support class, so why not play as that character? Like, don't always play as your main. It's fun when...
I'll be honest, like, there are just some characters that don't fit my playstyle. Like, I'm almost never going to play a tank because I cannot move slow.
For me, I just don't play Sniper, and I don't really like the Builder class all that much, but...
I like Symmetra a lot. Yeah. I like to play as the turret dude. Though, I will admit, there was one time, for no reason at all, six randos and I just all decided to play the turret dude spontaneously. And we're just like, alright, this is
That's the best once you get, like, just all six. And for the most part, it'll win. Like, I don't know what it is, but, like, the six player, like, unless you're, like, six really fragile people, but when you go, like, six tanks, oh my god, it freaks people out.
Yeah, I don't know what to do. You're,
like, three Reinhardts and three Bastions, so the Reinhardts would just...
Fucking Bastion.
He's
the worst character in the game.
You know what's funny is because Bastion has such a bad rep on PC, at least, no one plays as him, even though he's, like, one of the best characters.
I've never played as him once.
He's one of the best characters, the worst.
Yeah, because I know that he's, like, he's OP. I'm like, I don't really want to do that. Like, I have three. Mine are Mercy.
Don't say Reaper.
Reaper, Soldier 76, and Bastion are the three worst characters.
Yeah, exactly. People hate Reaper, too.
I love to kill Reaper, but I am Mercy, Roadhog, and Pharah. Pharah's pretty fucking cool.
I've been playing as Pharah recently for the past week, and it's great.
I've been getting into Symmetra a lot lately. She's become super fun. Junkrat is a really good character to play on offense, even though he's a defensive character. So I've been doing that a lot.
The cool thing is Vendetta, but
I'm awful as him. He's way too fragile for me. Every time I stick my neck out as him, I just get murdered immediately. So I'm like, you know, I'll let somebody who knows what they're doing play him. Him and Lucio, the two supports, I can't seem to
wrap my head around. Yeah. Lucio's kind of fun, but I just like Mercy because she's straight support. Like, there's nothing else about her. She doesn't. She ain't going to kill anyone, but she's going to keep you alive, and I like that because I'm. Yeah.
It's so satisfying when you revive someone, too, that just got wasted.
Oh, like, absolutely. Back, and when you're the person getting revived, and it's like five of you that got revived, you're like, oh, it's on now.
Yeah, and the person sticks up there, you know, like the person that killed them kind of runs past and they're done.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think like the great thing about this game is that they made roles that people normally hate playing really fun, like Mercy, who's just a straight healer, and she's fun because it's easy for you to get to the person you're trying to heal. You can easily see everybody. You know, sort of counter to like playing the medic in TF2, where you're just kind of having a bad time all around because you can forget to who you need to heal before they're dead. This, you know, it's like, all right, well, you can monitor everybody. You can get to everybody.
Another thing I like about the game, too, for me, is I've only played probably, 20% of the characters that there are. So, like, as soon as it starts to get stale for me, I could, like, go into practice, try someone new, and then bring them out.
You know what I would recommend, too, is do the weekly brawls. They had one weekly brawl where it was randos. That's a good way, because you'll play as people normally you're not used to, and that's how I found out about Pharah as far as me. No.
I love Pharah, dude. Yeah. Fucking rocket launchers, high jump, like...
Yeah, man.
All right. Well, that's Overwatch. Sounds like a fun title.
Fozzy, you and I got to hook up at some point. I forgot you had
it on. Do you have it on PC?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jeff, you've also been playing The Crew. I've played a little bit of The Crew. Free on Xbox Live Gold right now. You have played more of The Crew because I saw you tweeting pictures of Chicago and Las Vegas. So,
yeah.
What do you think of The Crew?
I think it's a very, very ambitious game that crams way too much shit into it. It has a story. You could work on your cars.
I like the idea of the story, though.
Map of the United States. I don't need it there.
See, I enjoy...
It's doing too much, I think.
I think there's a lot going on, and I've only played a little bit of it, but I do like the idea of, like, there being this driving game, kind of like the original Driver, that is narratively focused, and there's a reason for you to be doing this stuff other than just, just because you want to drive.
I just think that they're trying to do too many things, though, and if you're going to cut something, I think that would be something, like... The game buckles under its ambitions, I think. Like, just even when you go to load up the map, it takes forever for the map to load because it has to, like, populate everything. And
yeah, the...
It's struggling to perform.
And you know all about that, Jeff, don't you?
That's terrible. You pointed it out to me.
What do you think of the actual driving? Because I think it's maybe not the best. It's serviceable, but...
It's not, I mean, the game is not amazing, don't get me wrong, but it's nowhere near as bad as people kind of made it out to be, you know? Like, I'm enjoying myself. I was like, fuck, for free, this is awesome, you know?
Was it panned? I don't remember.
Yeah.
I think it launched really badly. I think that was
it. Well, I played it right before it came out. I played the open beta, which was really just a demo, and it felt like you were driving on ice. The driving's been... shored up a lot, but they've released like some weird expansion since the game came out.
Yeah.
Which I think might have done some tweaks and stuff as well.
Well, yeah, they're like definitely trying to push it because when you boot it up, it says The Crew Wild Run.
Yeah.
And when you go to select certain missions on the map, it'll be like, buy the Wild Run. Yeah.
That's like, God damn it.
No.
I mean,
they're giving the game away for free at least this month, so whatever. But I'm fine, dude. With what's there, it seems like it's going to be a lot, and it's going to keep me busy for a while.
I mean, it's a huge open world.
Yeah, I plan to keep playing it, and that's something we have to touch on is how impressive I think the open world is. Like, doesn't look the best. Like, the graphics are not amazing, But, dear Lord, dude, like, I was driving around Chicago. It was accurate to what Chicago should be, like, in the game.
First
same with Las Vegas.
More accurate than Watch Dogs?
It was infuriating me, dude. Like, I got so mad playing it. Like, I was just like, how the fuck, like, this is one tiny piece of this huge game, and they got it right. And then Watch Dogs, the whole game was Chicago, and it was nothing like Chicago. Like, and they're both Ubisoft games. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Different games.
I think that driving between the big cities, like, it's like when I was driving from Chicago to Las Vegas, which took me like 20 minutes, wow. It didn't feel completely accurate because, like, there was no, like, cornfields and nothing for a while. Kind of went into, like, trees and then mountains and then snowy mountains. Like, you could tell you were, like, in, like, a Colorado-type area.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, when you get to these big cities, like, I think that they're, like, they're not one-to-one, but they're really close to what that city is. Like, if you go in Vegas to where you think the Luxor is, it's there. It's exactly where you expect it to be. You know?
Yeah, I saw your picture of, like, a, you know, it had the Sphinx and the pyramid and... It looks like old Vegas is there.
Old Vegas, I saw that with the arch.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, that's cool, man. That's like, and it's just the fact, like, I just drove there just to drive there and check it out. Like, I think I'm in St. Louis right now, and I'm thinking about going to check out Miami. But I don't know. It's, I'm gonna end up playing through that whole game. I think I'm digging it. I don't think the racing is bad.
So it's just fine. Races. Like, it's, aside from like the story, or is the story just like tying the races together?
Kind of, yeah. There's different types of things. Like, it's not always a race. Like, sometimes you have to take down another car. Like, take this guy out. You know, like.
But yeah, it's driving. Like, the story is like super goofy, but.
Oh sure.
It's kind of like a Fast and Furious type thing where you're like going deep undercover to take down this.
It like, very much is that. It's like it's kind of funny because, like, the game starts off with, like, your brother being murdered and you being framed for it. You've been in jail for 5 years.
Yeah, of course. And then, like, some FBI lady or someone comes, she's like, how would you like to take down the guys that framed you for killing your brother? Like, you know, it's like...
Right.
By the way, we knew you were framed the whole time. We just sit on that for a little bit.
And now it's like you have to infiltrate your old gang, which used to be your brother was the head of this old gang. You now have to infiltrate the old gang from the bottom and try and work your way up to the top.
That makes a whole lot of sense.
Video game.
Yep, video games, exactly.
Ubisoft.
As I said, I enjoy that there's, like, you know, this goofy narrative focused driving game, though. It's really dumb, but
in the best way.
Kind of.
Yeah,
like, there's really dumb cutscenes, like,
you can skip them, thankfully. Like, I think it's too much of that at the beginning too. Like, or I'm just like, I want to get into racing. I was trying to teach you everything.
Yeah,
I know how to drive a car. I press.
Like, go to this garage. You do this with your car. Do this. Yeah. Do that. And you're like,
and it's get into the game. So you do like a bunch of tutorial missions, and then your brother dies, and then like the story kind of kicks off, and then the first thing out of there is the FBI agent's like, I need to test you to make sure you're actually the guy for the job.
Oh, so then you have to read.
You have to do like some more tutorial shit.
Oh god, yeah,
so dumb.
It takes too long to get going, but like I'm into it now. I'm enjoying it. It's probably like one of the best free games I've gotten. Like where it was
like as already. Like a free game, it's perfect. Like
it's awesome. Yeah,
very very happy with the fact that it was free and. You know, it's a beefy game. Get a chance to play it.
Yeah, I'm happy I waited because I've been eyeing it forever because, like, despite the reviews, I like the idea of being able to drive around America like that. And it came to be free.
Let's see. What else do I got on this list here? I've been playing a game called Breached. It just came out on PC. I think the launch date was yesterday. Don actually got me a code. I'm playing it for review. Interesting little title, $7 on Steam, I think. Concept is you wake up from cryogenic sleep. Everything's kind of been broken down around you. You have 8 days worth of oxygen left, and your plan is to kind of get the supplies you need to repair your cryogenic chamber.
And is this in like space or something, right?
It's something like that. Like it's hard to really tell. Like it's set in the future somewhere.
I think.
So you're kind of collecting electronic parts to put together your cryogenic chamber, and you're collecting these kind of materials to synthesize fuel for the system. And that's really all there is. Like, you're exploring these different areas, trying to find these things and bring them back. But everything you do takes energy. So if you want to send out a drone to search an area, that takes up, like, a third of your energy. And you can only carry a certain amount of items on the drone before you need to bring it back. So you have to kind of balance your time between, do I want to send a drone out to get items? Do I want to hack into the capsules I brought back that might have the electronic parts I need? Or do I want to, you know, fool around with synthesizing fuel? So you're kind of like balancing all of those together and your time and kind of moving on from there. Like, it's like, so you can only do a couple things a day, and you're always working against the clock to try and go through that. It's designed to be played multiple times, but the environments themselves don't change. So I think it would actually work better if it was randomly generated. Because as I'm playing it, I've now played through it 4 times.
Oh, so you kind of know where everything is, so there's no suspense after the first time?
Yeah, so like I found there's 12 capsules. I found 11 of them in the 4 times I played, and now I know where all 11 of those are, so I can immediately go out and get the capsules, like, which has the electronics to build your to build your cryo chamber. Now, the problem I'm finding with that is that the parts in them are randomized.
Oh.
Yes. So, the first time I did it, I actually got, there's 4 different parts that you can get from unlocking a capsule. And I got the one, the most important one, I got on the first capsule, second capsule I opened. The first one, like, that's not part of the tutorial. But I never got the rest of the part, so I died. But since then, I've now found all. I found 11 of the 12, but I have not gotten that piece again after opening them. And it'll tell you like what the percentage chance is for getting that piece. so like I'm opening up the ones that actually have a chance of that, because there's ones that say 0, and I'm not getting it. And it's like, this sucks. So I've died 4 times now.
That seems frustrating in not a fun way.
It's like that part's random, but like the environment itself isn't random. And I think if the environment itself was random, at least then there would be some change to it. Now,
well, at least then there, like, it would be almost your fault that you didn't find the items.
Right.
Instead of it being the game's fault. But
right, because it was random. And then, so it's a little weird. I like the idea behind it, and it is cheap. It's like $7, and I've gotten four hours out of it now.
It's not bad.
And I'll probably wrap it up in like a play session or two. And it looks like there's 4 endings based on whether you just flat out die, whether you can repair the cryo chamber but not get the fuel for it, and whether you can get the fuel for it but not repair the cryo chamber, or whether you survive. So I've gotten 2 of the 4 endings.
Okay.
And then once those endings happen, then you can actually access them as part of your log. So that's the other thing you do every day, is you do like a star log type thing. Like, this is what's going on during the day, and it gets more and more depressing as you go along, as you know, your oxygen is getting more and more stale, and you are realizing you're going to die. But you can actually access secret logs from having gotten those other endings, which gives more to the story. There's a bigger world out there. There's two factions that previously existed, and so somebody put a lot of time into it. It's just it's a little bit too random where it shouldn't be, and not random enough where maybe it should be.
Hmm.
It's an interesting little experimental game, though.
Who developed it?
Ooh, that's a good question. Let me see.
Was it like a Kickstarter thing?
I don't know. We happen to get an email. We get like random unsolicited emails from developers all the time, especially like little ones.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, I have to imagine it's one of those like, "Hey, scratch my back, and what kind of scratch yours?" And everyone.
Yeah, the publisher is Nickdo Games. The developer is Drama Drifters, and they've never made a game, at least not on
Steam.
Drama
Drift, so.
That actually sounds like it should have been their first game before this.
I've seen dramas?
Drama. Drama Drift.
Llamas?
Yeah, it's interesting. It may be worth checking out, like, when it hits a Steam sale for $2.
Sure.
Or, I mean, $7, like, if you want to. Tony, did you get to play...
I have not played the newest chapter of Hitman
yet. No.
I've spent too much time playing GTA 5, which is like an entirely...
Playing the game itself.
I played a little of both. So I've been looking at it, like, every week or so on, like, Amazon or whatever. I'm like, I want to buy this... for Xbox One. I played through the game on Xbox 360. I'm like, but I really want to play GTA again. And every day I would like look at it and be like, okay, I'm going to wait till it's cheaper. And then one day I just cracked. I'm like, okay, I got to have this fucking game now. So
I wish I had it on Xbox One. I'd play with you.
It's been long enough now where I don't remember most of the story parts because they're all still random anyway. So kind of like experiencing it over, and I've forgotten how good it is and how well it's designed and how different all the missions feel. It's just such a good game. And now I hop online and it's like, oh, you have a previous account. Would you like to import your save file? So I import my save file, and then they gave me $500,000 to spend in the game, which is how I bought like the most expensive apartment I could find. I'm like driving around the city trying to find. Yeah, so, but yeah, it's so much fun. It's so good, and it's been, what, 3 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so you have, like, first-person mode and everything now and all
first
that?
First-person mode. The game, I mean, it's probably the most attractive game I played on my Xbox One, which is kind of sad.
It's really good-looking.
I mean, if you're looking to hop back in, it's a good time to do it. There's so many sales now, too, because they have their new... expansion, the free online expansion. So if you guys want to come play with me.
I have it, so maybe I should jump on.
Man, you also got it for PS4.
And I think Don has it too, so maybe we could do a heist or something.
Yeah, that would be fun, because when I played through initially, the heists weren't there.
Right.
It took them
years, right? It took them like 2 years to add the heist.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because I think those were supposed to be there at launch, and that's what everybody wanted to do in multiplayer. That's right.
But I just went, I was walking through my apartment, and I have like a room in it where I can like plan heists.
I would still go for some single-player heist if they were to go, we're going to do single-player content for this. I would play that.
That's the surprising thing about GTA 5 for me is that Rockstar hasn't gone back and done a single player expansion.
Because it's not making the millions and millions and millions of dollars like online is right now.
But they have enough money where they could do both, and they did single player expansions for their other games, so it's just kind of weird.
But GTA 4 didn't have an online mode, right?
No.
It did.
Four did have weird competitive like modes, didn't it? It just wasn't like the free roam, right?
It was Red Dead that brought in the free roam.
Red Dead's free roam was so good, even though there was nobody ever playing it.
GTA 5's free roam is great.
I know, but I'm not on a horse in the Old West with a posse.
That's okay. Next year, I'm betting you'll get to do it.
I feel like if that were the case, we might have heard something. That was the most disappointing part of E3. I was really hoping for the announcement of whatever the next Rockstar game is, and they didn't announce anything.
There was I don't know how true this is, but I guess there was rumor that it was pulled at the last minute because of the Orlando shooting, because the trailer very prominently featured the main character walking into a bar, saloon type area, and shooting up the place.
I heard that about another game too. I can't remember what the other game was, but I heard a similar rumor that game was also
played. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, all things considered, that would have been a smart move. Like,
I mean, 2K and Rockstar don't need E3 to announce their game. So
yeah, I don't think because you didn't see it there, it doesn't mean it's not coming. It's coming, obviously, but I think it'll be next year. I'm optimistic though.
I'm sure they've already announced that they have something coming next year. So
I'm still waiting for Agent.
Yeah, so is Jack Trenton.
You can wait forever.
Seems that way. What was that, Jeff?
I was gonna say I was super disappointed there was no Wolfenstein 2. Like, what the fuck was up?
Yeah.
No, because that seemed like
that was a very strong rumor too.
Yeah.
And I think
maybe that was pulled because of something in it. I don't know.
No, I mean, but they teased it in the boot up to their conference, so that makes me think like they just weren't ready to announce it. Maybe it got delayed in house or something. Like, there are a million different reasons why it could have been so strongly rumored and then pulled.
Yeah. I mean, it could very well be that it's not even going to be ready for next year. So maybe they were just like, hey, we'll tease it. We'll show it next year, and it'll come out the year after.
Maybe, yeah.
You know what I'm waiting for that we haven't seen in forever is Cyberpunk.
Yeah, they said they didn't even really start working on it, though, until just recently, because they had really been using all their development on The Witcher 3. So
now they're making Gwent, but that's like a small team, but I thought I heard they're making two other games aside from...
Yeah, that's weird, right?
Witcher 4, I mean, that's got to be in the works. It's got to be.
No, Siri. I agree with you.
Siri the Witcher.
I mean, I would play that game.
I would too.
But, yeah. I mean, I think there's still, like, there's no reason why Geralt isn't going to be back. It's not like the series had a through line or anything where it's like, we've now concluded the Witcher trilogy, you know? Like, and I think, didn't they eventually pull the 3 out of the title anyways, and it's just Wild Hunt now or something?
It was The Witcher Wild Hunt, but I guess the logo is like three strikes, like from like a claw or something.
Oh, okay.
So it kind of like points at being The Witcher 3, but all right. I got one other game here. I think Pete's been playing Bloodborne 2, but Jeff have been playing Pac-Man 256, which just came out on Xbox One. I think it's out on PS4 as well. And Jeff's maybe girlfriend PC. Is
the one. I had it on my phone, I think, for a while.
I played it on my phone when it came out. It was fun.
Is it better on console?
You can use the D-pad, so.
So yes, okay.
Yeah, like controller just allows. Like, I mean, that game was fine. Like being able to swipe up and down, left and right, but it definitely plays and it feels better playing it with the controller. A little bit random though.
Yeah. Well, I feel like with those games, it's just like, all right, you've gone on long enough. Time to lose.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah, that's me personally because I suck at it. That's my experience with it. Like, I'll be doing perfectly fine. All of a sudden, I'm like, I could see it coming from a mile away, but there's nowhere for me to go. They're coming from two directions. I can't escape. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm fucked.
Yeah, it's not quite like with regular Pac-Man or Miss Pac-Man or
Crossy Road even.
Well, specifically for Pac-Man games, where it's like you can pick a path and you can see the path, like. There's a lot more different ghosts and they behave differently than they would in the actual game. Yeah. So sometimes you can end up being sticking yourself because you can't see what's coming because the map is always scrolling.
Yeah, those fucking pink ghosts. I hate them.
Yeah, that are only triggered by going in front of them. Like,
yeah,
yeah, they've actually killed me the most.
Those are the. I mean, but you had said to me, you're like, oh, it's pretty awesome. It's not quite Pac-Man Championship Edition. I'm gonna go out there on a limb and say this is my favorite Pac-Man I've ever played. It's awesome, dude. I fucking love this game. I think it's just because of the slower pace of it. I like it. Like you have to like it's like more of a thinking thing than the other one. Like
a little more methodical,
fast. Yeah.
See, I think you really have to do good in Championship Edition. I think you have to plan out your course like as you're going.
Yeah, but it's fast and it's like more twitch based. And
it is like
I suck at that too. I'm not good at either of them. Like that. I think they're both great. They're both amazing games.
You can't think and you're not good at Twitch. What good are you? Fuck
yeah. He only likes shooters that don't tell him that he sucks.
Yes. That and safe little Nintendo games. No, you're but... Right, Joe. Dude, it's really great how like they've kept the Pac-Man formula like relevant and found variations on it throughout the years. And this is a really great take on it. Like, just an endlessly scrolling maze that where it's kind of slower paced and you have to like think about what's going on. And I don't know, I'm not amazing at it, but my girlfriend just topped you by like 4,000 points, I think.
Well, she got up to 14,000. So
yeah, you have a bit of a climb there. The highest I've gotten, I think, is around 7 something. I suck. But it's still awesome, like... It's very addictive, like, where you'll be like, all right, one more. Like it's hard to tear yourself away from it.
Yeah, it's, well, because they, unless you get a really great run, they are really, really quick. Like, you can die super quick in that game. And it's like, damn it, and you just you quickly jump back into it and, like, and then even when you do hit a really great run, it's like, I can do better. And you jump, and so you hit this weird loop of just, like, not wanting to stop ever.
it's a ton of fun. Really you could play it for hours, and...
Yeah.
A great thing, like, I should just note, because I've had this experience lately, you know, Dangerous Golf, it takes you a minute to reload the course. Here's a second. Boom, boom.
It's reloaded, super quick. You know? Like, and that's so important.
It's very important in
a game like this. Because if there was a long load time, you wouldn't want to keep playing. So it's really, really well done. I kind of hope they bring Crossy Road over to Xbox One as well.
Yeah, I mean, even that seems like a perfect.
It would just be like all you'd have to do is A and B, like A and B and left and right. Like, oh, it would be great.
It's kind of cool how you can make this one look like Crossy Road, though. Like, I didn't realize that.
All the different moves. I actually have it as CDX right now, but it's pretty cool that you can change it to all the different things. And I like that they accelerated the progression because that was one of the things that kind of like stalled me a bit on the phone. Was that like getting coins, which is what you use to upgrade your power ups, took forever. Like, and like you would get like the mystery boxes and you'd open them up and there'd only be like 5 coins in them. This is always like, you know, I don't think I've gotten anything less than like 128 coins. And I've gotten over 1,000 a couple times, like very always giving you coins to spend on your power ups. And every bit you eat gets you towards closer to the next unlocking the next power up that you can upgrade. So,
yeah, if I hate the free to play model because like this just feels more honest. And honestly, $5 for this game, I feel like I got a deal. Like I'm like, this is amazing. Oh, like I've already got a deal.
I checked the Xbox does the tracking, so I checked the Game Hub and. When I beat your girlfriend's score last night, you guys had already logged over 10 hours of play on the game.
No, really?
Yeah, and I was at like 2, but you guys were already 10 hours over. You made out with the
problems. Yeah, like, I have no problem paying, especially that small amount, for a game that's going to give me like a ton of hours of fun on it. Like, I don't need things to be free. I'm fine with paying for a good product. I don't know.
I don't mind that it was free on the phone. Like, it was perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I did stop playing because, you know, the game is kind of reliant on you upgrading your power-ups and being able to utilize them, so.
What are you rocking for your power-ups right now, you know?
The laser, the bomb, and the big Pac-Man.
I have the big Pac-Man. I have the laser that turns corners, like it'll, like, go around the corner.
Oh, because I have that one.
It's like a giant. That one's good, and there's like a giant. I have a giant radar one that just like a big goes in a big circle around you. That one's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you guys were pretty close to having all of them.
Yeah,
last night. So I'm only about halfway through all the power ups. So
awesome game though. Like,
yeah, ton of fun. I think
anyone should get that. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
I think whoever has Xbox here needs to get it so we have more scores to chase, because right now it's just me and Chris chasing each other, or Chris and my girlfriend chasing each other, because I'm just a non-factor, but...
And I'm pretty sure your girlfriend sent me a message on Facebook saying she beat my score.
Did she?
Well, I got a notification on my phone saying that I was mentioned in a post that she put up, but now I can't find it, so maybe she took it down.
That's funny.
Keep that up.
Yeah, it's a wonderful little game. So, Pete, you've been playing Bloodborne.
Yeah,
I bought it. Briefly, tell us about that.
It was on. It's $20 new at GameStop. I saw it maybe a week ago at this point, and it's awesome. I love it like so much more than like Dark Souls 2 that I was playing, and I think it all has to do with the combat. It's faster paced. There's no blocking. It's all dodging and quick strikes and stuff, which is totally more my gameplay style.
So as somebody who played Dark Souls and Demon Souls but didn't like necessarily love them, is this maybe a little more accessible?
No.
No, because it doesn't reward... like, in Dark Souls, if you get hit, like, or if you're about to get hit, you can try and block and survive that hit. In this case, if you get hit, you're going to get fucked.
And Bloodborne is very, very hard at the beginning. Like, very hard, I thought.
They actually made it easier.
Oh, really?
So tell me if I'm wrong. Originally, when the game came out, you couldn't level up until you beat the first boss, right?
I think so. Either you could not, or I didn't know that you could. It's one of those.
See, I couldn't remember because now you totally can. Like, and that's what I did. And
that's important. Yeah, because fuck. You're giving me flashbacks, dude.
Well, and now 74,000 souls are potentially going to go down the drain because I'm so lost I couldn't find a lantern.
But I also remember the second boss, I think it was in a graveyard, and he's so hard. He's so fucking hard for like a second boss in the game.
For anyone who's played Dark Souls, he's the Capra demon of this game so far, where he's a really early boss that feels like he should be towards the end of the game because he will just come out of nowhere and fuck you up. Like, straight up. I think it all comes down to the combat and stuff for me. It's just, like, it's much faster. I like the ability to, like, interrupt the animations to get the stuns off and stuff with the gun and stuff. I mean, I love the aesthetic as well. The whole, like, Eldritch Horror thing is super strange and cool for, like, a Japanese game to have.
Right. That's mostly why I'm interested in it, is kind of like the Lovecraftian approach to horror.
I'm going to play it again one day. I think I saw it at Walmart for $15. I should have grabbed it, but...
Yeah, $20, I couldn't resist. It is, like, hard as balls. Like, I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still getting fucked. And I've just sort of learned to accept my fate on certain things and just be like, You know, like, I currently have 74,000 souls sitting somewhere on the other side of this level, and God only knows if I'm going to ever get those back. Probably not, and I'm just going to have to take a long, deep breath at that point. But I guess, like, the biggest thing is that I'm much more successful at this game than I have been at any of the other games. Like, Dark Souls 2 was fun, and so was the original. But this one, I could actually see myself going all the way through and finishing.
Because, you ever beat them?
No, I got to various stages. I'm sitting at the Executioner's Horseman in Dark Souls 2, and I don't remember where I am in Dark Souls 1, but... yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where, like, the sluggish, like, tank-like combat just isn't my thing.
You might like Dark Souls 3 more, though. It is faster.
That's what I've heard, and that maybe when that gets cheaper, I'll give that a try. I've heard that, like, dodging is a much more viable tactic than rolling and just hoping to block properly. Yeah.
That's my thing, though, is I'm not good at dodging and rolling, and I don't like it. Like, I like having a 100% shield and just being like, fuck you, go ahead and hit me, you know? And then dodge and let my thing fill up and hit them. Like, so, just for me, personally, the combat, I'm more drawn to Dark Souls, but, like, I really want to play Bloodborne again for its atmosphere. Like, the game is really awesome.
Yeah. I totally get that. For me, and that's where the difference kicks in is, like, I like that I can move really fast and, you know, can make my way around enemies and stuff instead of, like, hey, my dude has, like, a shit ton of armor, so he's way too slow to move. Like, I'm never at, like, a fat rolling point because that's the worst. But, like, in this, I feel light and I feel agile, and that's just how I like to... play. You know, going back to Overwatch, that's reflected even in the characters I play in Overwatch. I like to play very mobile, characters.
I'm fine with that, but I just wish you could have a shield in that. Like, that would make it so much better. I don't like using the gun to, like, parry their attack. Like, I'd rather have a shield.
I mean, there is a shield.
There is?
There's one shield. In the whole game.
I don't know if there was when I played.
And it makes fun of you for using it.
Really?
If you look at the item description, it says something about, like, I can't believe you actually need to use this in order to, like, play the game.
Well, that's why I think Miyazaki, is that his name?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's why he made Bloodborne, is because he didn't like how people like me played Dark Souls. He's like, I don't like people walking into a room just holding their shield up. Like, I want people to, like, actively be engaged in what's going on or whatever. So, like, that's why he made Bloodborne the way it is. Like, I get it, but you can still be fast and have a shield, man. So, I don't know.
All right. Anybody else got any other games on their list?
I'm going to buy Doom.
I am too.
Because it's on sale for $35 bucks of a Steam sale, so
all that.
That's not
and
bad
that
at all.
Helps. So tempted to buy it.
Would you guys please just buy fucking Gnome?
I'm doing it. I'm gonna do it, man.
Yeah. Do it.
Well, I think I'm just gonna wait till Black Friday.
Ain't gonna get it for better than that, dude.
No, but
if I were you, you're gonna wait until QuakeCon when they put everything on sale again that Bethesda makes. It might be $30 then. Fallout 4 is on sale for $30 now. If nobody's gotten that yet, man. $50 or $30 for.
Listen, Hefe, you have my word. I will play Doom before the game awards. Okay. So.
Yeah, I will too. It's on my list.
Also, everybody,
I'm out.
Tony's out.
No? What? Come on, Tony.
Jeff likes it. I'm out.
It's good.
Everybody should buy Stardew Valley and Rocket League because they're both on sale for, like, $10.
I heard Stardew Valley's coming to Xbox One, right?
Yeah, coming to Mac and console. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I might want to wait for that.
That game is still probably top of my list for this year right now.
QuakeCon's not that far away. Maybe I will wait for that. All right. We looked like Pete, you had mentioned a couple pieces of news.
Fozzie reminded me of one too. Yeah, so I'll cover them as briefly as possible, as briefly as we can.
Yeah.
The first one's short is this, that Tencent's eventually going to take over the game industry and will all be owned by a Chinese game company.
Buying everybody.
Because they spent and this just goes to show you how much money they're making off of the companies they own now. They spent $8.6 billion to buy, I can't remember, their Supercell, I believe is their name.
Yes, Supercell.
The developers of Clash of Clans and Clash Royale.
Sweet.
That's insane. Like, that's four times as much money as Activision spent, I believe, on the Candy Crush guys, right?
It's a lot of quiche.
Yeah.
Wow,
that's nuts. I mean, Tencent already owns, soon, they're going to own, 25% of the gaming industry.
Right? I mean, they own Riot already. Riot was, their first purchase, and they own...
They own a large portion of Epic.
Yeah, Epic.
Our Chinese overlords are coming for us.
But the thing about them is that they seem fairly smart about what they're doing. Like, they don't seem to get involved in a controlling measure of their of the companies they own. You know, it's not like we see them. What's the word? Making things worse than they were when they're not throwing the companies into the gutter.
Yeah, it seems like they're doing a pretty good job.
So that fuck was that. Sorry, that's just gonna happen, everyone. So I'm stuck in the Forbidden Woods. If that makes any sort of sense to you, no. Jeff.
I kind of remember that, yeah.
And this area is a goddamn maze, and there's a bonfire at the beginning, and I don't know where the other one is, and so I'm just a man without a map right now, trying desperately to not lose 70,000 souls. while already carrying 25 other ones that I have from killing all the other dudes on my way back. but hey, that's Dark Souls.
But play this game, because I'm totally stressed out.
But it's a good stress. It's the same reason, you play horror games and stuff. You know, it's that, that adrenaline that gets you going and stuff.
Fuck yeah, dude. We need to get everyone to play Dark Souls 3 before the end of the year, because that's the game of the year, obviously.
Don't think that's going to happen, Jeff.
I don't think it's going to happen either. I'm going to try to, and even if not, I'll probably back you on some of it, because I understand the game.
That's amazing.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt that.
Jeff, I think you have a better chance of championing Doom.
I champion both. They're the two best games this year so far.
We haven't played Stardew Valley.
You haven't played Total War Warhammer or Hearts of Iron. Well, so.
I'm talking about real games, though.
So am I.
Yeah.
And so the other bit of news that happened, I guess yesterday was when it was really doing its thing. Paper Mario is out. Right? No. I mean, is it the new one, right? That everyone's talking about.
Paper Mario Color Splash comes out in September.
Yeah.
This all happened at E3 over the at the Treehouse.
Okay, so that's what it was. Okay, I couldn't tell. The articles I read were unclear about the state of the game as whether or not it was released or if this was hey, press had it or influencers or whatever you want to call them.
It was, I guess all this stemmed from the Treehouse Live demo.
Okay. And so, they were showing some scene with Mario and he's with a bunch of toads and stuff There are some off-color references to what might have been the whole Zoe Quinn, beginning of Gamergate thing, and stuff like that.
It can be construed as such.
That's the thing that everyone's been talking about, is that, hey, nobody necessarily thinks that Nintendo knew that because they're culturally unaware, but this is also the job of localizers to catch that sort of
the
thing.
The Treehouse guys were certainly aware of this.
Because then later on, in an amazing thing that Nintendo now all of a sudden does, is that they come out in defense of their employees.
Allison Rapp was pissed, by the way.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no shit.
He was on Twitter they never defended me. What is this?
Yeah, she was snapping today about it.
Yeah, and I, you know, frankly, I don't blame her because it was like, hey, where, you know, so now you step in front of all this? And she made, and one thing she did point out is, like, I guess, like, in Nintendo's statement to this, they referred to Gamergate as a hate campaign. But when it came to Alice and Rapp and her association, they were people criticizing certain social groups.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's just sort of like Nintendo, like, being all Nintendo as usual and just putting their foot in their mouth again for the second time in E3 and stuff, you know. First with the whole, like, Zelda nonsense and now this. It's just like, guys, what the fuck are you doing? And you know, like, you know, their statement was that it was a Watergate reference, which, you know, it more than likely was. But that doesn't...
Well, no. Let's back it up here 1 second. People add gate to anything that's, like, a controversy, you know, so...
Like
that's how Gamergate got its name, yes. You know.
So, no, but the joke itself that Nintendo...
No, they specifically said it had to do with Watergate.
I know that they're saying that, but
yes, you can add gate
automatically jumps to that conclusion. I don't see it. I really don't see it, like, the whole thing. I'm like, put those two pictures next to each other, and then you put it in that context,
I think those were, like, one right after the other line.
They weren't.
They were 20 minutes apart.
Yeah, they weren't right next to each other, but I can definitely see... Well, I think they're in the same scene, Tony.
They are, yeah.
Same part of the game.
What was, like, setting everybody, like, in sort of, like, making...
But there is dialogue in between there that happens, but I can definitely see where she would associate this with that, because, like, I mean, the whole thing with Five Guys...
Right, that's a direct reference to
I didn't catch it because I, like, the first time I saw that thing, I was like, I don't get it. Like, I saw her tweet retweeted, like, how dare you make fun of my suffering?
I had to, like, think back to, like, oh, it did start with, like, you know, at Five Guys, like, that whole thing.
I never heard that. I never read that guy's original fucking rant. And then, so yesterday, I fell down this, like, fucked up rabbit hole.
Oh, no.
Where I read it.
You experienced Gamergate 2 years later?
Yes. Well, no, I mean, I was aware of Gamergate, but I never took the time to read this guy's fucking post about
his diatribe about her.
It was a thing, let me tell you.
Yeah, but, like, so when she posted that, and I saw her thing retweeted, I was like, I don't, what? Just because they said gate? And then, like, I saw her say something like, no, they also said Five Guys. I was like, what the fuck is Five Guys? And so then I had to go look, like, so then I fell into, like, reading, I ended up reading his whole thing, which was, like, super fucked up, and, yeah, I don't know, like, I don't think that that's what they're referencing.
I don't think it was either, but I can see where she would associate that with her, being, you know, she's been a major target for harassment over the last 2 years, and
sure,
I could see how, you know, if she saw that and was like, what the fuck's going on here?
I mean, can we also say that this wasn't like they weren't 5 seconds?
No, yeah, they weren't.
Right, they were far apart.
They're not right next to each other.
I mean, and again, could be offended by it by everything. Like, if you really kind of break everything down, like, okay. I understand, but maybe if I was working there, maybe, like, I mean, at what point do we take, you know, ignorance, you know, only so far? I mean, that's...
But to be honest, though, Fozzie, these are the Treehouse guys. Like, they were on the ground floor. Like, they saw this stuff happening.
Which is also where Alison Rapp worked, right?
Right. This is why that they should, like, these references aren't random to them.
If you take two parts of a game and you take a picture of them and you splice them together, you're creating a new context that necessarily is not there in the first place. Like,
sure,
I get it, it's still in the same section. It's probably within the same 5-10 minutes of the game, but
Yeah, I mean, I just don't. It was at the beginning of the game, and then at the end.
I do wonder if Nintendo adding any sort of whether it was a Watergate joke, whether it was a Gamergate joke, with them adding any sort of gate-type joke to their game, like, that comes off as really.
And you're talking about like them not being 5 seconds apart, but that doesn't. That also, I don't think that holds any water. No pun intended, I guess. But I have no better example of that phrase, because to them, those two things, even 20 minutes apart, make a joke. And a reference.
I mean,
I don't think there's different references. I think
the thing is, you have to be
parts of something you put them together. You could create a new context. It's not.
But my point is that even separately, they're meant to reference the Watergate scandal. So even separately,
no, like, one is referencing the that's five
what,
guys.
That's what Nintendo. Well, because five people were arrested for the Watergate scandal, and that's what Nintendo said the whole thing was a reference to. So if the whole, if those things even 20 minutes apart can be a reference to the Watergate scandal, they could.
Well, here's the official statement from Nintendo. As many have observed, when viewed in its entirety, the Nintendo Treehouse Live segment for Paper Mario Color Splash from E3 included two jokes separated by commentary and gameplay that have no relation to each other. One joke has to do with Watergate, while the other is a nod to the Fun Guys from Mario Party 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I mean, yeah.
Nobody was going to.
There's a random reference that no one.
Mario Party 8. That was a very popular Mario Party. Okay.
I took it as five fun guys, like fun guy. Get it? Fun guy. Mushrooms. Fun guy. You know.
Well, that's how they meant it. But yeah. Again, it's like Chris is saying, the Treehouse guys should know that that could be misconstrued and cause an issue, and that's their job, is to change things that might be an issue.
Yeah. Like. I agree with you. I think on one hand, like, I totally agree with what you're saying. On the other hand, I just, you know, this is kind of a problem with the internet nowadays, is that people overreact. Like, people want people's heads on sticks, and
these are the same
fire. And you're going to buy Nintendo shit like a month later. You're going to forget about this. So it's like,
well, yeah.
Just keep in mind that you're not in the mindset of that person at that time. Was it a cool joke or not? I mean, again, I feel like
I just feel like, you know, for her in particular, seeing those things, I imagine it would be hard not to.
But
so her anger is understandable. Like, I'm not saying anybody Nintendo needs to fire anybody.
I'm just saying it's not just her being angry, because there are gamers gators that also were picking up on it and like going, ha ha ha, look, like,
yeah, now it was like a rallying cry. Not only did we get Nintendo to fire somebody, like, but now they're just like fucking including shit in their game.
They're actually out there saying, Nintendo's on our side. Look at this. They made a joke about Gamergate and about Zoe Quinn, and we got Allison Rapp fired from them. Like,
and you know what Gamergate loves the most?
Oh, any of this sort of attention.
Like, exactly. So you give that to them, they've already won. Yeah. They don't need to make sense. So that's the thing, is that like she's in a place of power where you know, she can get a lot of people riled up. So, I mean, instead of kind of just being like, okay, this was a poor choice, she went off on like, how dare you fucking take my harassment, and maybe rightly so, but at the same point, I mean,
she was hurt, and I mean, people, okay, you know, like, I don't but, think, like, I mean, considering what that did to her at that time,
right,
nobody's going to necessarily have a clear head about that. That'd be like if somebody made a very specific rape joke about something, it'd be like, well, you would, like, whether purposely or not, feel kind of targeted by that.
I just think
Do you really think Nintendo would
target some person such as her?
No.
Who was a victim of abuse and go, we're going to make a fucking sick joke about you. Like, I think you just, like, she's like, saw that, and I think
just
people
brush it off. Like, obviously, you don't, maybe not, and just be like, hey, this was kind of in poor taste, but by freaking out about it, you're not winning. Like, at the end of the day, the Gamergate people won that. So,
well, I don't necessarily think that her rallying cry was, hey, fire these people. And, you know, all the discussion I saw about it was mostly like, hey, maybe just pay better attention next time. It wasn't like, we need to fucking fire these people because they did this.
I mean, she wasn't calling for
stuff, but it was.
I can understand where she's coming from, but you know, you're kind of playing right into the people that you hate. Like, this is exactly what they want. And
I just still see it as a bit of a stretch to put the two things together. It feels like coincidence to me that the five fun guys and the Watergate joke And so to say, like, oh, they should be more aware of what they're doing, it's like, I just feel like it was, it's a context that is created outside of what is actually there in the game. Like, it just...
I agree with you, Jeff. I also think, though, that, like, knowing what any sort, like, your target audience is gamers. And right now, anything that has gate attached to it, like, whether it goes, they're going to associate it with Gamersgate, whether
What was it we were talking about a month ago when they had inserted a joke about ethics, right? I don't remember what game that was.
Oh, it was was it Pillars of Eternity or Isometric?
Or was it Baldur's Gate, like the remake?
Baldur's Gate, yes, the new expansion. Baldur's Gate 2's new expansion.
Okay.
Well, that was a direct reference.
That was, yes.
Is it like any time, like Chris is saying, any time that happens, you got to know that, like...
And also, I mean, dude, things are not off limits. You can make jokes about it if you want, but, like, if you go... It's my opinion, anyways. Like, things should not be off limits to talk about, but... You know, this seems like it would be, like, if it was the way people took it, it would be, like, poking fun at her, which I feel like is that, then they deserve the criticism, but I just don't think that's what they are doing, you know?
Nintendo is literally 5 years behind everything anyway. This isn't like South Park, and if it was South Park, they might have gone away with it and been like, well, fuck you. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Everybody would have expected it because they're so like low-hanging fruit at this point that like it would almost have made sense.
Right.
And I would not be surprised if there are not one, but several Gamergate-related jokes.
Sure, absolutely.
It's not off limits for them to do that. Like you can talk about whatever you want. Like you can make jokes about anything you want. It's just it's up to the public to decide whether it is funny one, and whether two it's in whether it's in poor taste or not, or you know what I mean, like.
I think everyone agrees it was poor taste. Poor taste or a poor choice of words. But that being said, I just feel like we could have moved on from this and like not have people freak the fuck out. Like,
I put it this way,
exception of her. There were just a couple of people having a discussion about, hey, this is what translators exist for, to like catch things that may be culturally insensitive and stuff. You know, like.
But it wasn't. It was this huge debacle. Like, people are like, oh my god, Nintendo's the worst. Like, holy shit. Like,
Right. It doesn't help that the two jokes actually align really well.
Yeah, well, and you know what also doesn't help is that, like, they made a statement, like, within, like, a day. Like, right. If this were nothing to be worried about in any way, shape, or form, I feel like Nintendo would have just ignored it like they do everything else. Right. Like,
I wonder if they're responding because the last time they didn't respond, right. They received so much shit over the Allison Rapp stuff that, hey, now we need to get out in front of this because we got our asses kicked last time over this. It just comes off in poor taste.
Yeah, the internet's paying attention. You know.
Right.
I don't know. Like, just to me, I cannot be outraged by this when we have mass shootings going on in this country every day. Like, I feel like there's bigger fish to fry. Like, you know, I don't know.
There are. No, it's all just within, like, this is the fish to fry in terms of the industry, not in terms of the world.
Yeah,
you know,
just
like, hey, maybe, you know, just, all, you know, I think the bear thing was just like, all anybody at the end of it was saying was just like, maybe just pay some attention, you know, like the Treehouse people, like Chris was saying, like they dealt with this already. They should have seen that and been like, oh, well, clearly.
Or like, maybe
it's not
like
that hard. Like it's not like they're.
But I mean, at the end of the day, like no one has their job. How do we know that they have 10,000 lines of code or whatever it is? Like, I mean, it's a ton of stuff.
Well, I mean, like this was broadcast over Treehouse Live, like. Somebody cut this piece of the game to bring. Maybe they should have reviewed
doing. It seems kind of weird. Like there's a lot of coincidences that seems like
I don't think it was done
too many.
I certainly don't think that it was done maliciously. It's
I don't think that when they were writing the localization for this, I don't think that they're going, let's make a joke about Gamergate. I really don't. because it just doesn't feel like...
It doesn't feel like Nintendo at all.
It doesn't feel like the people that would do localization for Nintendo would do. Like, Allison Rapp used to do that for them, but did she not? Like, it just doesn't feel...
Not necessarily. She wasn't a translator. She was just a market... She was like a mid-level marketing person.
It just doesn't feel like...
No, which is why I don't think it was them being malicious, but I... Or trying to be on nose with it, but it does strike weird similarities that do make people.
Right. I mean, it was a weird situation.
It's an unfortunate one, ultimately, right? Is that like that it had to happen in the way that it did and stuff? Right. And,
More unfortunately, is no one will ever play Paper Mario because fuck the Wii U.
Oh,
again, I literally thought, I keep forgetting that that's a Wii U game. I keep wanting to say it's on 3DS.
It looks actually really pretty, but, like, I'm not buying it just because it's coming out, like, first week of October, and October's packed, dude. And I'm mad at Nintendo to begin with. I'm mad at Nintendo for good reason, because they fucking suck. So,
we knew that, like, 5 years ago. That's...
Easy.
Welcome to the club there, Hefe.
Why do they suck today, Hefe?
I'm still mad at them about the Wings and all that, because we all know why they did that. Like,
Yes, but, I mean, as serious as all this Nintendo stuff is, the world economy is going in the shitter, so...
Yeah, did we get a final tally on that vote?
It is... The vote is now 490,000 from being leave. BBC has forecast the UK to leave the EU.
Really? And like from what I've heard, that it's anyone who wants to leave wants to leave for the wrong reason.
Well, it's basically the Trump supporters of the UK.
Yep.
It looks like Scotland and Northern Ireland may vote to leave the UK.
Yeah,
right.
Well, that I heard. I mean, they barely stayed in the last time.
Right.
That there was a vote, and I imagine once this happens, they literally have no reason to stay after this, right? Like,
no.
This is some weird shit going on. The British pound has dropped to its lowest level since 1985, so I'm in for a fun day at work tomorrow.
Oh, you deal with like currencies and shit.
Yeah, we deal a lot with British pound, actually, so we have a major office in London. Yeah, it's going
to
be great.
Time to start buying all them pounds. Hello.
All right, so I don't think there was any other major news, right?
I don't think so. I mean, we are the week after E3. It's pretty light normally. I guess there are stronger rumors that the PlayStation Neo will be out this year.
Didn't they say October, definitive. Or was that only like the leaked stuff that we'd seen?
That was the leaked stuff. They still haven't definitively said, but it looks like it's leaning closer and closer to probably launching at the same time as the PlayStation VR. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't really see anything else major here in terms of gaming news, so...
Yeah. I mean, I'm just going to mention this because, I don't know, we're low on news. It's a light week, but Vice Gaming's doing their thing now again, it seems. Picking up Austin Walker.
They hired Austin Walker from Giant Bomb.
To head that up, which I think is really cool. I think he's one of probably the smartest people in the industry right now, so I'm glad to see that he's getting his due.
It'd be interesting to see what they do over there, so.
What's going on? What is he doing?
He has left Giant Bomb to head up Vice's gaming network.
Oh.
For a short minute.
Well. Yeah, we will be back next week. I will have Lego Star Wars The Force Unleashed.
I will have it too. I got the special edition, the gold one.
Sweet.
With the one with Jabba's Palace expansion or whatever.
It's got the all the expansions, whatever it is. Plus, you know, the Finn figurine.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So we'll be talking that. it is also right about time for our annual drunk podcast, so...
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit, I was early.
So when is the annual drunk podcast?
Wait, what?
Normally is like the 4th of July podcast, so it would be next weekend, so...
Okay. Are we doing it on 4th of July, or are we gonna?
No. We'll do it. We'll record like normal. But
oh, okay. But
you know what's so you're talking next week, right?
Yep.
You know what's awesome is I have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday off, so I can get real shitty fucking next Thursday.
All right. Well, it is our. Yearly public service announcement to not actually act like Jeff.
How are you not fired yet, Jeff? Did you just take like 4 or 5 days off of work? And you were literally like, I hope I don't get fired.
Union, bro. Union. They don't do shit. You do whatever you want. As long as you don't murder somebody, you're good.
Sounds like
it is exactly that. Is anyone getting Luma next week? Has anyone seen that?
I don't even know what that is. I might get Valhalla, because that sounds real sweet.
There's this like little indie game called Luma. I think it's $20. I saw a trailer on Xbox. It's like an isometric like adventure game. It looks really cool. Where like you kind of tackle one room at a time that has like puzzles in it and stuff. Looks awesome.
Well, I'm definitely getting Lego Star Wars and... Inside also comes out next week, so...
I'll have Doom.
Oh, shit.
I will probably play that before
Is that Xbox and PC same day, or Xbox...
PC is the week after, I believe.
Okay, and when is We Happy Few? Is it the end of July?
We Happy Few launches early access on Xbox One June 26th.
Okay, and I think PC is the same day. Or 3 days after, I think it might be.
Yeah, something like that. Inside is on Steam. It launches July 7th.
July 7th, okay.
Chris, go on Xbox and go, like, coming soon. Like, look at Luma. I think you would be interested in it. It looks actually really cool.
Give me 1 second. How do you spell that?
I think it's L-U-M-A.
Oh. One, I'd have to go actually to Xbox, like, because I typed in Luma, and it just has a picture of the little star from Mario.
Maybe I could be, it could be Loma or something, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's something like that, though. If you go, like I said, if you go on the store, go to Coming Soon, it'll be, like, one of the top games you see. The trailer for it, like, really sells it for me. Like, it looks really interesting.
I will check it out.
Especially since there's no real-scale games coming out. Like,
since there's no what coming out?
There's no retail games coming out. So, like, I have no problem buying, like, you know, I'll buy Inside, I'll buy, you know, Luma or whatever, you know, like, little $20 games here and there.
Yeah.
Coming out today, thanks.
We Happy Few is Steam Early Access and Xbox Preview Program on July 26th.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Yeah, and also, yeah, and Steam Summer Sale is going on, so for anybody looking for something cool to buy.
Yes, to add to my infinite
Doom is
library
the only thing where I was like, oh, hey, I don't own this yet. I should pick it up.
It's embarrassing how many games I have in my library that I don't play that are on those lists. I'm like, I should get that. So many games are like, this game looks awesome, I can't wait to play this, and I have never...
You never play it. Yep, don't do it.
Doom, I've got
the Banner Saga 2, I'm in, guys, I'm in. Oh,
yeah, I played the first one, and I was like, hey, this is fun, and I was like, oh, 30 minutes later, nah.
Yep.
It was fun.
I kind of stopped looking at the Steam sales because I was just buying shit to buy shit. And
right.
I have 351 games in my library. And
you know what I want, though, is Prison Architect. If Prison Architect
I've had that for 2 years, Fozzy. I haven't
played it. If that's on sale, let me know because I want to buy it and never play
it. It's officially published now, too. It's no longer...
Yeah, it's officially out there.
Oh, nice.
Actually, I purchased it 3 years.
Oh my god, only $7.49. Oh,
yeah, I have yet to buy it or yet to play it. I've owned it for like.
Oh shit! It's 75% off. Oh, I got it.
Yeah, that's the terrible thing about Steam is that it tells you when you purchased it. It also tells you if you've ever played it or not.
Yeah.
0% played.
And right, that's why I have 30 games in my wish list right now, and I will probably only ever buy 5 of them. Because I just, yeah, sure. I've started to learn, though Humble Bundles are really the big problem with that, is that I buy a Humble Bundle for like 2 games, because why not get this amazing?
Yeah, I have a lot that are dumped in because of that as well.
And then it's like, okay, games are only like 5 other indie games that we know you'll never play, but make the developers feel better about themselves.
Oh, Chris.
Yeah.
Or everyone, I guess, in general. It's Lumo, and it is out now. It just came out, let me see, yesterday.
L-U-M-O?
Yeah, L-U-M-O. It looks like also that GameStop published Insomniac.
That thing looks like Insomniac game? Rash.
Oh, is that out?
Does it? Yes.
Song of the Deep?
Into the Belly of the... Wait, no.
Hmm?
Never mind. Hmm? That's someone else.
I thought that
never
was...
Mind. That's something else completely.
We'll be back next week, and Jeff will be drunk.
Ew, that's true.
I might be drunk, too. I don't know. It's kind of fun.
I won't be drunk. That's a lie.